Next to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, we welcome our longtime friend, Stanley Hatzel from Market Block Books. How are you, Stanley?
I am well, thank you.
Good to have you. So, if you are a loyal WOC watcher, or rather listener, then you know Stanley brings us books every week. So what books do you have this week, Stanley?
Well, I brought you a few books this time instead of a large stack of books. And two books of poetry and one book of life-changing magic, but not tidying up. But I want to start a conversation about reading life and books that I don't think people really know or talk about very often. And I get insights to customers all the time at the store where they'll tell me something about what they're reading or what they like and what they don't like. And in the process over, I've been doing this for 19 years for this store, it's just amazing to see what people are willing to say and open up their hearts. And as a result, they change me. My book tastes have changed because of the customers. So I wanted to, you know, talk about that dynamic and not just tell you about the latest and the hottest new book right now. So that's a piece of what I want to talk about. But I also want to read you some lovely poetry from some amazing people and start the ball rolling with that conversation. So for instance, I was mentioning earlier that I usually wake up every morning and after a certain amount of time, I read Moby Dick. That's the thing I'm into right now. And I get on that boat and I'm out to sea as soon as I open those pages. And I have read Moby Dick before, but never with this sense of connectedness that I have right now. And there's such a joy for that. And I've mentioned that to a few customers and a few other people who roll their eyes and say, it's not that good, is it, really?
Or I think whenever people suggest a classic that like Moby Dick, people feel like they kind of get it already, even if they haven't already read it. You know, right. It's like you get the point, but I think you have a good point. I think there's definitely something different with hearing about it from other people and reading it for yourself with this different mindset.
And there's also, for me, the experience of reading a book later on after having maybe read it before, or there's something going on in my life right now that I'm more open to whatever Moby Dick is willing to tell me today.
I guess for a lot of people, I would imagine people think, well, with an old book, what could an old book have to teach us in the 21st century? Or like a 2020, like a whaling book from the 1800s?
Well, that is the $10,000 question. and I will say, and I pointed this out before, that Nathaniel Philbrick wrote a book called Why Read Moby Dick, and he talks about the enduring legacy of this novel. And when you read it, there are things that feel relevant to life today. I mean, just you read about Ahab, and you know people who are just like Ahab, either personally or publicly. So it's not just Moby Dick. The other thing I'm doing in the evenings is I'm reading Shakespeare, The Winter's Tale. The Troy Public Library has a Shakespeare class, and you can participate. And we read the plays are always five acts long, so every week we do a different act. And that has just shifted my awareness of language. And you would think Shakespeare is, you know, hundreds of years old, that, you know, what relevancy is there? But this guy knew human psychology. You know, look at King Lear, or look at Hamlet, and you see all these flaws that you probably can see in yourself, in your neighbors, in your whoever. There's amazing riches in these books.
I'm always amazed when I read Shakespeare about how many expressions were developed that he created.
Yeah.
That come from Shakespeare's books. I haven't read much of it since college, but in reading through, I was just amazed by like this expression or that thing that's actually 400 years old and Shakespeare came up with it, and now it's something we still use all the time.
Yes, more quoted sometimes than the Bible, Shakespeare is. And often people think those quotes are from the Bible when they're actually from Shakespeare himself.
You said you had poems for us.
So I have some poems because I think I'm really a romantic at heart, and I think really life is poetry. So this book is called Conflict Resolution for Holy Beings by Joy Harjo. She's an indigenous poet out of Oklahoma. And this one came out in 2015. And this is my advanced reader copy. So it's a little bit worn, and there's some, embarrassed to say, a couple of coffee stains in here. But this is, there's the stain right on the poem. It's called This Morning I Pray for My Enemies. And she says, "And whom do I call my enemy? An enemy must be worthy of engagement. I turn in the direction of the sun and keep walking. It's the heart that asks the questions, not my furious mind. The heart is the smaller cousin of the sun. It sees and knows everything. It hears the gnashing even as it hears the blessing. The door to the mind should only open from the heart. An enemy who gets in risks the danger of becoming a friend." And I love her saying that the heart is the smaller cousin of the sun. And that if you get into my heart, you risk becoming my friend.
Yeah. It kind of makes me think of a time where I was angry with somebody. And eventually I was like not angry with them anymore. And I wanted to be angry at them. You ever forced yourself to be upset, or
yes,
like just held onto that grudge, even though you really don't care anymore, but you just feel like maybe, I don't know, like it's important to be angry or something.
You're not ready to let go of it.
Yeah, it's like this needs to happen. Like I need to be angry, and it's just the appropriate feeling right now. And so you fight not being angry anymore. I find myself doing that a lot, and that's kind of what comes to mind when I hear you read that.
I think this poem kind of brings to mind that state, the phrase, like, bring your friends close and keep your enemies closer.
Yeah.
In many ways, when you're engaged in somebody in a negative way, you can be more, think about them more and be more obsessed with their behavior and the way that they affect your life than the people that you love.
Exactly.
It can be problematic. So what other poems did you bring for us today?
So, this is David Budbill's book, Moment to Moment. He passed away a year ago, or last year, I think. And he lived a life of similar to the Chinese mountain recluses. So he lived up on a mountain. He did all of his own chopping his wood. He'd go out and be alone a lot. And so he writes these very simple and elegant poems.
Recluses.
These are ancient, probably 3rd, 4th century in China, these ancient wise guys who would hang out in the mountains, write poetry, and just meditate.
So perhaps like European tradition of a hermit,
Way even before that, though, yes. Probably even before any Christian tradition happened. So that's what he's emulating. Although he does tie this into some Buddhist context as well, but although Buddhism predates Christianity by another 500 years. So this one is called the title is almost longer than the poem, okay? How and why you should be circumspect about your inner life. How and why you should be circumspect about your inner life. He says, "Try not to look like you're on the path to somewhere. That way, nobody will ask where you're going."
That's my method all the time.
Try not to look like you're on a path to somewhere. That way nobody will ask where you're going.
That's kind of opposite to the advice you have as a New York City person, where you always need to look like you're going somewhere so that nobody asks you anything and stays out of your way.
Well, this is about being circumspect and about your inner life. So it's really about this inner journey. And you don't want to talk about it.
My dad has a saying, "Don't tell your right hand what your left hand is doing," or something like that. And that's kind of the same thing. Just it's more about being private, even to yourself, I guess.
Yeah. One more little tiny piece of David Budbill. This one's called Bugs in a Bowl. And so he says, Han Shan, the great and crazy, wonder-filled Chinese poet of 1,000 years ago, said, We're just like bugs in a bowl. All day, going around, never leaving the bowl. I say, that's right. Every day, climbing up the steep sides, sliding back. Over and over again, around and round, up and back down. Sit in the bottom of the bowl, head in your hands, cry, moan, feel sorry for yourself, or look around. See your fellow bugs walk around. Say, hey, how you doing? Say, nice bowl.
What a beautiful bowl it is, though.
So, I have the need almost every day to read some poetry. If it shifts my awareness of what I'm doing and how I'm seeing the world. I remember one time, the first time I ever heard Mary Oliver's poem called Wild Geese, and it starts out with, you don't have to be good. And when I read that poem, I burst into tears. I just was blown away by how well she knew me. And then, this was at a bookstore I was working at in Albuquerque in New Mexico. So then a customer came in that I had known very well, and I said, do you want to hear this poem that I just found? And this is 1993, I think. And so I read her the poem, and she burst into tears, and then I burst into tears. And she said, I have to have that poem. I said, I do too. So we both bought copies of the book at the same time, and that kept carrying on. And I find that when I share those experiences, that it makes me a better person. When I find a poem, like the bugs in a bowl, nice bowl. I mean, I just am grateful that people can recognize that there's something more to all of this insanity than just all this insanity. So I have a little story to tell you.
Okay.
This woman came, I have this book in front of me, in my hand right now, called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And this is from 1997. And we haven't had it in the store in 7 or 8 years. And this woman I know came in the store, and she seemed so remarkably different than the last time I'd seen her. I mean, a lot. And I said, what happened?
Did she cut her hair?
Yeah, she did look pretty good. But no, she did not cut her hair. She was reading this book, she told me. And I thought, I've never sat down and really read this book. It sold like hotcakes when it first came out, and it still sells like hotcakes. So I'm not actually going to read from the book. I'm going to read from the table of contents, which to me is like reading this really elegant poem. Okay, are you ready? And these are the chapter titles. So, 1, don't sweat the small stuff. 2, make peace with imperfection. 3, let go of the ideas that gentle, relaxed people can't be super achievers. 4, be aware of the snowball effect of your thinking. I don't know about you, but you know how you get that thought and it just gets going and going, you can't stop that thought?
I only have those thoughts. I have no other thoughts.
I mean, this book is just... I haven't even read the book. I just reading the table of contents made me happier and lighter, and I can see how my friend had changed because of this book and is really changing.
It seems like it should be like a manifesto or like guidelines of the way you go about life.
It is that. It is exactly that.
And the messed up part is these things are so simple. We've heard them before, and we just. I don't know. We just don't listen.
It's like the left hand not listening to the right hand.
Exactly. In one ear and out the other.
Yeah, that's what it does. And then for some reason, for her, and this is what I was mentioning earlier about Moby Dick, there is a moment when the book really can speak to you, and you can hear what the book has to say. I couldn't hear Moby Dick several years ago when I was reading it, but for some reason, Moby Dick is really ringing true with me today. And for some reason, this book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, just a table of contents is rocking my world.
It definitely seems like it's a good book, and I think I'm probably going to try that one out. But I think that is a perfect book for us to close out on, because we've come to the end of our show. If you're just tuning in, that was Stanley Hatzell from Market Block Books. He comes every week to give us a good list of books that we should be reading.
Thanks so much, Stanley.
You're welcome.